This is ProBlogger.
Hi there, my name's Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com, a blog, podcast event, job board and a series of ebooks all designed to help you to grow a blog, a profitable blog. You can learn more about ProBlogger at ProBlogger.com. Now, in today's episode, I've got Jim Stewart from Stewart Media back on the show to talk about search engine optimization tools to help you to rank higher in Google. Now, I had Jim on the show back in episode 94 to talk about blogging mistakes or mistakes bloggers make from an SEO perspective. And since that time, we've had a lot of questions in our Facebook group and via email about tools to use in SEO, and that's what today's show is about. We talk about five different tools that you can use in your blogging to help you to rank higher in Google particularly. We talk about Yoast, the most common tool that gets mentioned, and a little bit about how to set that up and what to particularly pay attention to. We talk about two browser extensions, free browser extensions that are both useful in SEO, tools that Jim uses every day in his own SEO. We also talk about Google's Search Console and how essential it is for bloggers. And now I know it can be quite overwhelming, Google's Search Console, but it is so important to have it set up and to be monitoring that. Then we talk a little bit about a paid tool that Jim recommends to help you find broken links, identify duplicate content, to build sitemaps, and a lot more. Towards the end of the conversation, we talk a little bit about a really common issue that I find a lot of bloggers facing, and that is when you've been blogging for a while and a ranking, or you have posts, multiple posts that are all trying to rank for the same search term. And Jim gives us some ideas on what we can do there to help one of those to get a higher ranking. And then lastly, we talk a little bit about Google's most recent updates and how they're impacting bloggers. And if you are an affiliate marketer, if you're doing any kind of affiliate marketing, you want to listen to that last part of the interview as well. It's not a long show today. You can find it over on iTunes as well, if you wanted to go for a walk and listen to it. And you can also find the show notes over at ProBlogger.com/podcast/194. And lastly, join our Facebook group. And because I do regularly update in there all our new episodes and blog posts over on the blog, a couple of new posts a week, and we're having some great discussions in there at the moment. You can find the Facebook group at ProBlogger.com/group. Okay, let's get into today's show.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Hey Jim, welcome back to the ProBlogger podcast.
Hey Darren, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always always good to chat. It's been about 90 episodes since we had you on. I think it was episode 94. We did five mistakes bloggers make with SEO, and a very popular episode according to my stats. So I thought it was time to get you back on and to talk about tools, because every time I ask people in our Facebook group what they want to learn about, search engine optimization come up and tools. On what tools should we be using? Because there's so many tools being sold and available on SEO. I thought it'd be good to kind of come back to that topic. So is that cool?
Yeah.
Excellent. Very cool. So the number one advice that everyone always gives when it comes to SEO tools is install Yoast, the plugin for WordPress. Exactly. I thought maybe if we start there and you can tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know about it, what it is, but also, what do you then do with it? Do you just install it and then it just looks after itself? Or what do we need to do once we've installed it?
So any of these SEO tools, they're not going to go and make you rank number one. What they all do, though, is help you get your site in order, basically. And Yoast is probably the most used in that category. So originally, it was only available for WordPress. I think there's now a Drupal version as well. But basically what it does, it's a way to, there's two sides to Yoast. There's what I call the site configuration side, and then there's a post-level side. So the post-level side is probably the the part of Yoast that most people are familiar with. And it gives you some guidelines on, you know, how many, you know, whether this page is optimized for a particular keyword, and it has these little lights and codes to sort of guide you into writing a post that's optimized. We don't use that side of it. We don't use that post level side of it. It's good when you want to get started. You can start to, it helps you understand some of the concepts behind getting a page ranked. But the main reason that we use Yoast is to stop Google crawling things we don't want it to. And these can be things like archives, or they might be tag pages. So a lot of bloggers will, you know, use tags so people can easily find posts with a keyword that posts are focused on. And that sounds great, but what happens a lot of the time is that people will tag a post, and it might only be one post that has that tag. So let's just say you might have a tag called teddy bears, and you have one post in that with that tag. Well, that tag page is basically then just duplicating the post that you tag. So you've got two versions of your post, and you're showing them both to Google, and that's duplication. And the problem with that is that Google doesn't know which one to rank, and it makes it hard and confusing, and can be confusing for the user. So we use Yoast to get rid of a lot of those things. It easily allows you to add things like no index tags to pages that you don't want indexed. It allows you to easily set up Google sitemaps and Bing sitemaps. And they're really important to help the search engines find the content on the site. There are other plugins that you can get to do sitemaps and things, but Yoast is really nice because it allows so much flexibility over that side of things.
Mm, excellent. So there are a few things you need to, I guess, tweak once you've got it installed. Where would you suggest people look for those?
Yeah, one of the big things that people should do is make sure that they're not allowing Google, I'd say under titles and metas, make sure that, and the taxonomies, you've got to make sure that you're not letting Google crawl things like attachment pages, where, you know, you might have attached a piece of media to a page and then there's another page created just with that image on it. Yoast allows you to switch that off, so Google can't crawl that because it's just a page with an image on it, which is no value to anyone. Make a decision about, you know, your tag pages in the taxonomy area. I would usually, for a WordPress site, not let Google index archives, tag pages, and for some sites, categories as well. But that depends on how you're using categories. So, but for the most part, those areas of your site are just another. They're a replication of another part of a posts or whatever. So you don't need them crawled twice. You don't need Google to index them twice. So yeah, that's where I'd start with it.
Great. We'll link to some further reading on Yoast and setting it up in the show notes today as well. So what other tools do you use? And let's start with some free ones for bloggers, because a lot of our readers are on a budget. They haven't got a lot to spend on their SEO, but any tools that you would suggest that they just have installed on their computer or on their browser to help them?
Yeah, so there's two that I use all the time. And here at Stuart Media, the different analysts like different tools, but for me, I really like one called SERP Trends, which does a few things, but the thing that I use it for is that it numbers every result in the search results. So we have our search results page in Google set to 100 results, whereas Google usually just has 10. And the reason that we do that is so we can find sites that are languishing, or where are they today? You know, are they moving up? Are they moving down? And this allows us to quickly see what number they are. It's just a simple thing. It just numbers each result. So you can see, and then it will tell you, you know, well, last time you did this search, it's gone up or down from when the last time you did the search. And you can also see sites that you're competing with, how they've moved since the last time you've done the search as well. So it's a simple tool and it gives you one measure, but it's really easy to use and it's just a plug-in for Chrome.
And I think it's also on Firefox. I was just looking at their page. So just an extension really for Firefox, for Chrome.
Yes, and, it
yeah,
would be.
I use this one and it is interesting. You do have to keep doing the search. So it basically is looking at every search that you do and then keeping a record of where things were ranked at that point the last time you searched. Would you be doing that search every day? Do you have a list of things that you search for every day just so that you can monitor where they are?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. So, for instance, and sometimes several times a day, like if we've made changes during the day and refetched it, told Google to go and refetch the page, we'll go and have a look at it, you know, a few hours later. So we use it all the time. Now, the only caveat on that is that it's important to remember, and this is sometimes a difficult concept for people to understand, is that ranking doesn't actually happen until the request is made. So a page is not ranked in the search results until someone actually makes that request. And the reason for that, so there's no predetermined rank, because the reason for that is that the search result depends on who's doing the search, where they're doing the search, and when they're doing the search. And so you might, if for instance, you're in Melbourne today and then you go to New York tomorrow, you're going to get different results in those different jurisdictions. So it just, keep that in mind.
Yeah. So it's not, you are ranking number 3 for wedding photography tips in the world. It really does come down. And it used to be a lot more global, didn't it?
I remember back
in the day, if you rank number 1 for something, you were pretty much ranking almost everywhere for it. And that was kind of nice in some ways.
Yes, it was.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Okay, so that's SERP Trends, which we'll link to in the show notes. You mentioned another one you use.
Yeah, Stylish. So Stylish is actually another plugin for Chrome. I think there's probably one for Firefox as well. It is a design tool, so it allows you to basically put a little bit of code to highlight different things on a page when you hit them. So what we use it for is highlighting where heading tags are on a page, because what happens with a lot of themes, this is the H1s and your H2s and H3s, a lot of themes, they don't use those as they were intended. So they're designed as the description suggests. They're heading tags. They're for headings on posts and subheadings on posts and those sorts of things. And that's how we like to see them used, because that's good document structure. So what this tool does is shows you on a page where, if you configure it in this manner, and I've got a bit of code which I will give you. It's on a blog post, so you can...
Yep, we can link to that.
And it allows you to quickly, easily see where a heading one tag is. And sometimes with some themes, you'll see that you have a heading one tag on every page and it might be a logo, which really isn't a good use of a heading tag, because there's no words in a logo. Obviously, it's a picture, so it doesn't make sense to have it in a heading tag. So it highlights things like that you can see easily, or sometimes you'll have, H5s all down one side on all your widgets, which really doesn't help Google understand what the page is about, because you're using the heading tags inappropriately. So it will tend to ignore them in that situation. So if you can use a tool like this to see where your heading tags appear on your site and around, you can start to use them in a way that helps Google understand what the pages are about.
Mm. So just for those who don't really understand heading tags from an SEO perspective, they are telling Google what to rank what your site is about, and H1 carries more weight, I guess. Is that a simple way of saying it?
I try to explain to people, I'll think of it as a good document structure. If you were writing a Word document, you might have a heading one at the start of the document. That's your title at the start.
Your big title, yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll have subheadings and they'll be H2s. And then if you have a subheading of the H2, it becomes a H3, it becomes indented. It's the same thing for a web page or a blog post. Having that structure is good for the user to read, but it also helps machines understand the importance or what's following in the content.
Mm. So that's a tool called Stylish. I just looked it up. It's userstyles.org is the people who made it. And for me, it came up in Store Chrome, but I suspect it will come up depending what browser you're using with a different option there. Again, we'll link to that in the show notes. Now, you also touched on, when we were talking earlier, Google Search Console, and this is something that I know a lot of bloggers look at and then become incredibly overwhelmed with and don't really know what to do. So, can you give us like the beginner's guide to Google Search Console? What do we do with it? How important is it that we sign up for that?
I think it's incredibly important to sign up for that. Mm. It's basically telling you everything that Google knows about your website. It's telling you this is the only place you can get this data. You can't get it in Google Analytics. There's nowhere else you can find this information. It's basically Google saying, here's everything that we know about your site. So it does a lot of things. It'll tell you speed. It will tell you errors on your sites. It will tell you what's been indexed on your sites. It's where you put your sitemaps after you've used Yoast to set them up. But the most important thing I think bloggers should look at, because it can be a real eye-opener, especially if you've been blogging for a while and you haven't looked at this, go and look at this, because it's going to open up some massive opportunities for you. And specifically, the area you should look at is search analytics. And have a look in search analytics, because that will tell you all the keywords that people have been typing in and that your site has appeared for. Now, it not only tells you if someone's clicked, but it will tell you if your site has just appeared and they haven't clicked. So, for instance, I was looking at a blogger's site this morning, and I've just found about another 30 or 40,000 potential clicks per month we can get to their site just by optimizing two phrases. And they're on bottom of page one for those phrases. But what the search analytics shows is that there is so much opportunity, because I can see how many impressions there are per month, and they're not getting any, they're getting maybe 5% of that. So it allows you to go and see those. You can see opportunities. You can also see in there which posts are driving that keyword traffic. So you can pick a keyword and then go and have a look at all the pages that have appeared for when someone's typed that in. So, for instance, you might get, as the case with the blogger this morning, you might look, let's just say it was a chocolate truffle recipe, right? You might go and have a look at that word in search analytics, and you find that there's actually three or four pages all ranking for that phrase. Well, basically what that does, it dilutes the authority of one page. So in the case of the blogger this morning, they had 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So they had five pages ranking for this one phrase, and they were the only site that had multiple pages. So what our job now is to funnel the authority to one page, so Google ranks that one page higher. And we're not sort of dispersing the authority across five pages. But we wouldn't have known to focus on that or even go and search for that had we not looked in search analytics, because it wasn't a phrase, the one we're looking at this morning, that the blogger has said, yeah, I really want to rank highly for that. It was only because we had a look at search analytics and we looked at the volume of search, and this is... you can use tools like AdWord Planner and those sorts of things as well to get keyword volume. But when you see it in your own site ranking, and you can go and then drill down and see which posts it's ranking for, and you can see, the position over time over the last 90 days, it gives you a much better idea, and it's really in your face, and you can sort this data any way you want. It's if you like data, you'll love search analytics.
Yeah, and there's so much to dig into there. It can be overwhelming, but do go in. Make sure you've got your site set up and begin to dabble in there a little bit. It is probably the only place you ever get a message from Google, too.
true.
I'm looking in there now, and I can see, a few months ago we got an alert that we were getting a lot of 404 errors. And we wouldn't have known that if Google hadn't told us. So, if there is a problem with your site, or if you're being penalized, I think they let you know in there. Yeah. So, this is a good place to go digging if you do notice that you're getting a lot less search traffic, because the answer may actually be there waiting for you.
Exactly. And it's a good idea to export it, because the traffic, that data only lasts 90 days. It's a 90-day window, basically. So it's a good idea to export it, so you've got a point of reference. And then you can go back and look back at that data as well.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
If our listeners have a little bit of money to spend on search engine optimization, what tool, if you had to choose one, would you recommend they go have a look at and begin to use?
To spend money on, you'd have to say Screaming Frog. There is a free level of access, but certainly that one, the you know, there's a lot of rank tracking tools out there, but they can be a little bit inconsistent in the data that they provide, because Google's constantly changing the algorithm. So we, you know, there's a lot of pay tools, and we're just switching with that one of our pay tools at the moment because the data on the one we're currently using has become unreliable. And that's not uncommon, and it's a tough job building ranking tools. So you know, don't spend a lot on your ranking tools, but you may have to spend some money, and just keep double checking and cross checking the results. Screaming Frog is the big SEO tool, though. It is there is a free level of access that will only do I think it's 500 pages now. And the yearly rate isn't cheap. It's about, I think it's 100 British pounds sterling a year, something like that.
149.
Just went up. Just went up, okay. So it's not a cheap tool, but it is the best one out there. And if you are using it, one of the things that that is invaluable that you can just do quickly is you do a crawl of your site, and then you just sort by status code. And that will bring up any broken links that you've got on your site. You'll see them quickly. You'll see things like redirects that are happening in your site quickly. It is a very complex tool, but it can give you some very, very simple, valuable information as well.
Yeah, so it's basically a crawler. I'm just going off their page here. Find broken links, audit redirects, discover duplicate content, review robots and directives, integrates it with your Google Analytics and generate sites maps as well. So it does do some things there that if you are wanting to take that SEO to the next level, it can really help, particularly that finding the broken links. It's tough to find those.
I know. Yeah. You've got to start somewhere, and that's probably the best tool for it. And also just on that duplication, you know, one of the things that that we look at as well is, you know, finding duplicate titles throughout the site. So, you know, you may have written a post 5 years ago, and then you got to write another post on the same topic, and you don't realize, but you've used this very, very similar page title. So
interesting. So just on that question, you mentioned that example before of a blogger ranking for four or five different things. And I suspect that particularly in niche blogs, a lot of bloggers would have that issue of having written almost the same article five times over, you know, 10 years. How are you going to approach fixing that for that particular blogger? Is it a matter of deleting some of those posts or linking from one to another? What's the strategy that we should be looking at there?
Initially, usually what we'll do is say, like, for instance, the one this morning was it was recipes. And there were five different recipes ranking for this one recipe because they were all sort of they had similar ingredients, basically. So what we would say in that situation is like, well, there's only one of those pages that really is accurate for the user for that particular search. So that's what we take it back to. It's like, okay, for this search, which page is best for the user? So then we would call that our target page for that phrase. And then we would look at those other posts and say, okay, how can we put a little bit of information in here for the reader if they're interested in our target page post? What do we want to say? And then we'll link to that target page post. So, for instance, in the case of recipes, I would say, you know, hey, if you're interested in the, you know, the savory version of this, then here's the page. You might just put that at the end of the post or whatever. And by that, it not only helps the user, it gives Google a better idea of that this page over here has, you know, is important as far as you're concerned for the user. I don't like to delete content unless it's not getting any traffic. If it's not getting any traffic, it hasn't had any traffic for, you know, I don't know. It's up to you how you want to judge that. But for me, if it hasn't had any traffic for 6 months, I'm probably going to delete that post because I can't see it adding any value. And I think that's a better experience for the user as well, because they're not sort of finding posts that have no interest or whatever else. So usually we will use interlinking strategies. We will look at that target page and say, can it be further optimized for this page? Have we, you know, are we using descriptive file names in our images and those sorts of things? You know, is the name of the, you know, of the post exactly what the people are searching for? You know, are we, is there a difference between singular and plural and all those sorts of things? But typically we try to make the target page more authoritative and then link from the other pages to that page.
Great. So work out what you want to rank for, what's most useful, link to that from the other places and optimize that page the best that you can.
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. Last question, not really tools related, but it came in our Facebook group a couple of times in the last week, is around Google's latest updates. Can you give us a really quick update of what Google seemed to be doing there and how it might impact bloggers?
Yeah, a lot of sort of quality type stuff. And when I talk quality, I mean, you know, is this a good experience or a bad experience for a user? And we had, there was someone in your group that got hit back in March. And they lost, it was about 80% of their traffic overnight. And it was an update that Google rolled out but didn't announce, and it was probably multiple updates. But what we found was, for that particular blog, was that they were overusing keywords in all the headings. So pretty much every post had a key phrase in every main heading and every subheading. So like what we're talking before, they would have the keyword in the H1s, the H2s, the H3s, and it was just overly optimized. So he went through and he basically culled a lot of the key phrases that he was using, and all these rankings and traffic came back. And that was globally too. The other one that we've seen is affiliate marketing. So if you're doing a lot of outbound affiliate links, just be careful that they're not deceptive. So the ones that we've seen drop have been ones where you're just reading this article and, you know, you click through to this thing and you don't know it's an affiliate link. It's not clear that it's an affiliate link. And it looked like Google was sort of punishing those sorts of sites where, because when they took away the affiliate links, their rankings came up. Now, that isn't to say you can't have affiliate links, but just, you know, make it, don't be deceptive that, hey, this is an independent, you know, make it clear that, you know,
sure,
there might be a relationship.
Yeah, which is legal anyway. So that's interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for that. Where you have your own Facebook group, and as much as we keep promoting people to come and join ours, we actually quite often recommend yours as well. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that and where people can find it?
Yeah, so it was after the PB event last year, and I came away thinking, I need to set up a group to go further in depth with SEO, because we've got a short course at the moment as well. And the idea of the group is just throw your site in there, tell us what you're doing, what problems you've got. We do live training fortnightly in there as well, and it's all free. We do have paid products if you just want to cut to the chase. But yeah, we'll go and have a look at your site. There's a team of 20 of us here in the office, and if I can't get to the site, someone else will.
Mm, that's great. So that's called the Bloggers SEO Support, and I'll link to that in our show notes as well. Listeners can also find you at stuartmedia.com.au, and you mentioned a course as well. What's the course?
Yeah, bloggersseo.com. You can head across to bloggersseo.com, and that's where we've got the training there. And basically it's a system. So it's a step-by-step system where you can first of all work out what's wrong with your site and then have the tools to know how to fix it.
Excellent. And I will link to that in the show notes as well. I'm not an affiliate, so I'm just disclosing that so Google doesn't penalize me.
I should make you one.
There we go. Well, maybe by the time this episode comes out. Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate your time today, and we'll get you on in another 90 episodes.
No worries. Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, bye.
This is ProBlogger.
I hope you enjoyed listening to today's show with Jim Stewart. You can find Jim and more of what he does over at stewartmedia.com.au and his Facebook group, Bloggers SEO Support. Now, I'll be linking to Jim's site, his course, his Facebook group over on the show notes today. It's at problogger.com/podcast/194. You can also find the other episode that I did with Jim over in episode 94. It actually was 100 episodes exactly since I last had Jim on the show. And you can find that one at problogger.com/podcast/94 or back in iTunes as well. Lastly, do check out our Facebook group at problogger.com/group. We're almost at 5,000 members. We do a weekly live video into the group. We have some great discussions every week. We're doing some challenges and do some monthly kind of accountability stuff as well. So if you're looking to connect with other bloggers, to learn from them, to share what you know about blogging, that's important as well. Do head over to the group, do a search on Facebook for ProBlogger Community or head to problogger.com/group. I look forward to chatting with you next week in episode 195, where I'm pretty sure we're going to be talking about a tool that we use at ProBlogger on creating an editorial calendar, and that helps us to really work as a team together, but also plan the content that we are creating. I'm going to have Lainey on the show, who works with me on the ProBlogger team, to talk about this particular tool. Look forward to chatting with you next week on the ProBlogger podcast.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Before I go, I want to give a big shout out and say thank you to Craig Hewitt and the team at Podcast Motor, who've been editing all of our podcasts for some time now. Podcast Motor have a great range of services for podcasters at all levels. They can help you to set up your podcast, but also offer a couple of excellent services to help you to edit your shows and get them up with great show notes. Check them out at podcastmotor.com.